Well, hello everybody.
Good morning.
Hello
out there in Webstream land. Just to let you know, we'll be back this afternoon at 2 o'clock with another round of the wonderful Gary Sigler. And then you'll hear more about love. And I'm sure. And then again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So just to let you know in case we forget to tell you. I'm sure Gary will agree with me that you'll have to forgive us for using words to try to describe things that are unknown to us. Because sometimes it's hard to just speak these things that aren't known to us. And so we both have been talking about how we don't know ourselves. And Gary said the same thing this morning that I spoke in a different way, and it's always wonderful to hear it in someone's own tongue. But the reason we don't know ourselves is because we get mired down in the fear of unbelief about who we are. And what are those things? So it's important to find out what they are. But after listening to Gary this morning, I took a verse out and I had to go back and find it and put it back in again because it talks about this. It said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And Gary told us again, he said before he knew you, you were made holy. And he says, we love him because he first loved us while we were dead. God died for the ungodly. He didn't die for a godly man. There is no such thing anyway. But while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That doesn't require anything on our part except to begin to live a life without fear. Because if we're in fear, we don't understand love. Now, we say we know what the gospel is. And Gary mentioned it briefly this morning. But we really don't know the magnitude of it. And I'm going to say it in a different way. I had a lesson in November. It was called Nothing But God. And I put a little twist on it that made it set with a lot of people. And I remember Gary calling me afterwards and he said, "Mike, it was really a good way you put it." Well, he put it a different way this morning. But the gospel is very simple. It's there is only God. There's nothing but God. And that's a beautiful truth. And right away, everybody's going to think we're New Age or we're pantheists or we're something else, right? But what's so amazing about it, and what Gary reiterated this morning, is there's only God, there's nothing but God, and you can't do anything about it. Now, isn't that a relief?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it. Now that's a huge weight that goes off you. There is absolutely nothing you can do about it. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't even matter what you believe. But if you don't understand this love, then you're going to live in fear. So what I said last night is the fear of unbelief is what's holding us down. About reality. What is reality? It's a fear of unbelief. We talked about a lot of things. And I'm going to talk about two huge idols today, and I'm going to drop a bomb, and Gary's helped me a little bit, so hopefully it will. He started out talking about it a little bit. Thank you, because it should set a little easier today. But I want to talk a couple things about these areas of fear that we have. So in Ephesians 5 It says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, it's a long one, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, what's the will of the Lord? It's just that you know me within you. And in Thessalonians it says, the will of the Father is to be thankful in everything. Well, it's pretty hard to be thankful when you're living in fear. And so, if we've got fears in our life, which we all do, there's always things that happen that throw us off some. And is that still small voice bringing you back into line? But there's some big ones that I think we're confused about that I want to hone in, what really want to hone in on. So it said, "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead." Now, what's that tell you? If you're sleeping, you're living in the realm of the dead. To what? Not understanding love. Not understanding who you are. So, we can say those things. Those are all nice. But what are some of the things that we're not understanding? And that's what the goal has been for this weekend. That's why it's called the language of the kingdom. And I told you yesterday, we need to try to figure out what that isn't. What's not a real duck that we're hanging on to? And so there's two bombs we're going to drop today. And I'm hoping we can get through them by noon. I'm thinking we can. So, I want to start out with the Liz quote again, because she listened again to the messages back in January, and she responded to the message, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." Now, who's the little child? Someone who doesn't understand the love of God within himself. Ye of little faith. So when we're in that zone, it doesn't change who you are, but if you're in that zone, you're operating in little faith, there's fear attached to it, there's circumstances always following behind it, and so we always want to keep messing with the circumstances. That's never the answer. There's unbelief behind each one of those circumstances that you're not seeing. And so what are some of those areas of unbelief that produce the fear? And so Liz is speaking back to me and talking about some of those things that were unveiled back in January when we talked about, little children, keep yourself from idols. So Liz says, "What I feel that has happened is that you were bold enough to let us know what those temples and idols are. And yes, when the foundations of our beliefs are rocking," or we could say unbelief, couldn't we? "When the foundations of our belief are rocking, it's painful to watch the beautiful masterpiece which we have preened so well over the years come crashing down." Then she goes, "Ouch." She says, "Ouch." "Rouch," Diane says, "rouch." But honestly, and this is the question, we have to ask ourselves, are we serious about this? Or do we want to live the flesh life forever? Those of us on this path are big enough now to know that the word digs over the soil of our heart and it unearths some predictable monsters along the way. And if they are not unearthed, they become unpredictable monsters that can bring about some serious issues. Isn't this like the little serpent which appeared in the book of Genesis and then became the big red dragon in the book of Revelation? Now, what does the dragon do? What does the serpent do? It slays you. And it's all centered around the unbelief that's in between our ears that will eventually bring you back to reality of who you are. But what's standing in the way? What are those swords that are standing in the way of that? And I want to talk about two big ones. So the last time I was with you, I made a couple statements that sent up howls, and I knew that would. And it did. And I don't have any books they can throw at me or throw across the room, but I got some responses back that weren't nice, okay? Well, guess what? They're coming around, okay? Now, I said two things, and I said them a certain way intentionally. The first thing I said was Jesus was not a healer. And the second one was, I don't believe in God. Now, give me some time to explain it, okay? First of all, if you're troubled or frustrated in any way, it has to mean at some level there is truth missing in your life. The truth will set you free, not the answer to your problem. That's part of the problem. Is we want it a certain way. He didn't say health will set you free. He didn't say money would set you free, or a different mate, or a change in circumstances on the appearance level. He said truth will set you free. So what is that truth? So the gospel is, which we always have to come back to, which is a plumb line, is there's only God, there's nothing but God, and there's nothing you can do about it. And He is, as Gary said, fully manifest within you. The only thing separating you from that is just activity right between the temples. So the only place the serpent, who, by the way, has a tongue that wiggles, it's this tongue right here. This is the serpent's tongue, who, when gathered together with the big group, becomes the great dragon in Revelation. Speaking lies about who you are. We followed along. We believe it's true. It's not a real duck. And it trashes you. This is what's happening. So, Jesus was not a healer. And thank you, Gary, because you talked about some of this, so this is, should come a little bit softer. We're still looking back to a man called Jesus, still looking back to the appearances of Jesus the healer, and Jesus never said once he was a healer. Not one time did he say, I am a healer. He said, I'm the Word. And the words that I speak to you will produce life. He said to them, who do you think that I am? Maybe somewhat sarcastically. Who do you think that I am? He says, you are the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, what are the sins? The only sin you can commit that you can't forgive is unbelief. That's it. Takes away the unbelief in your life. Yet they all turned and began complaining, just like the people who came out of Egypt in bondage and remained in bondage for another 40 years, living where? In a realm of death and hell. A realm of unbelief. A realm of destruction. Living their whole lives in the bondage to the fear of death. So the fear of death is huge. But how can you die if there's only God and there's nothing but God? And there anything you can do about it? How can you die? Where in there can you die? There's no place in there anybody can die, is there? So as Tony said, and Gary and I've said many times, nobody ever dies except in their mind while they're living in a realm of death and hell, a realm of fear. So we still haven't gotten beyond the man, what you might define as faith, hasn't exceeded the appearances. Because when you hear Jesus is not a healer, you're shocked. And I mean, there were shockwaves from some teachers. Okay? It wasn't coming from any lay people. It was coming from a couple teachers. And it wasn't fun. Okay? So, to some degree, we're still trapped in a changing world of unbelief. And the truth comes to you, and the cares of this world torment you while you're dwelling in this cave of unbelief. Now, what's the cave represent? It's just like the legion. What did it say? He was in a cave. Where was Lazarus when he told Mary he's just sleeping? He was in a cave. These are all allegories of us coming out of unbelief into reality. And there are allegories about that. That's what the stories are for. Now, I'm going to turn up the heat a little more. So Jesus was not a healer. And he never healed anyone. And you've never healed anyone. As a matter of fact, you've never been healed from anything. Here's why. Where are you dwelling when you're seeking health? We just answered it. A realm of hell and death. It's a realm that's fueled by the fear of death. There is no such place. There is no such place. So the only thing Jesus was doing, now he was doing some stuff, I'm not denying that, okay? There was things going on. But this is the key. The only thing he was doing for those of little faith was extending death to the dead and dying people. That's all he was doing. And he said they were an adulterous nation. He said, O ye of little faith, how long have I been with you and you don't know me? And just like the 5,000 in the desert, didn't believe the word because all of a sudden they were hungry and they were too far from home. What happened? They missed out the word. They got fed and they went back home and got hungry again. So it's the same thing Lanyon was telling us. If you're seeking health and you get healed and that's all you want, you might as well just die and get it over with. Because you're going to be right back there again and it's not the answer. And so if you're talking to any level at a degree about disease and health, you've got to realize that you're in a death realm. There's no life there. Absolutely no life. There's no answer there. So where did Jesus operate? You hold your Bible up, okay, and we call it sacred, but I'm telling you, it's all the stories about men in a realm of hell and destruction. And Jesus was speaking to them while they were there and trying to say, could you believe me? You've got eternal life in you. You're never going to die. But everybody said, what will you give me? Even Abraham initially didn't understand it. He said, I'm your reward. Well, if there's only God, there's nothing but God, you can't do anything about it, and he's your reward, that's sort of the end of it, isn't it? Isn't that the end of it? So what is stealing away the peace that comes with that beautiful gospel, that truth? It's just the fears that we harbor that stand against this truth. The fear of unbelief, which we talked about last night. The fear that you don't know who you are, you don't know who God is, and so we don't learn obedience to this reality, not behavior, but we don't learn obedience like Jesus did. Because it said Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So how are we ever going to learn obedience is that every time we suffer through a circumstance or an issue in your life, you begin to pray to an idol, your personal God, to remove it from your life. That's what it is. Because we're all in a different circumstance, and we begin to pray to a personal God to deliver us from the problem or the issue. And all the time, life is marching by. And you're missing it. I remember talking to my dad once when we were in business together. He and I couldn't work together because he grew up on the rear end of the Depression. And the guy wore his utility bills out. I've never seen anybody complain so much about his gas bill. And I said, Dad, you're spending all this time fussing over getting charged an extra $100. And while you're spending all that energy on that, here's $5,000 of business that went by outside the door. Why don't you let somebody else mess with that? And you know he never did it. He could never do it. And I couldn't change his mind. It drove me nuts, and so we just couldn't work together. I said, Dad, let that stuff go. Don't worry about that stuff. We got to work on growing the business. But it's a perfect example of how we get tripped up by these fears of not realizing who we are. So all these gods, there's billions of them, we've had several of our own, because each time you're in a different circumstance, it's a different God. It's the God of health. Is there a God of health? No. So why are we praying to God about health? It's all unbelief. It's unbelief. Can you get any life in a realm of death and hell and destruction? Is there any life to be found there? Absolutely zero. And so Lanyon said in this recording, the woman opened her eyes, I've come that you might have life. You know disease. You know health. Those are things that you fear. What does it do? It robs away this life that's within you that's never ending. It can't go anywhere. So how are we going to come to reality of the living if we keep running from suffering and just trying to expunge it? We just want it expunged. We just want it gone. And it's not comfortable. You know, it makes sense. But what are we learning from it? We're just going to keep going back? It's like going between pillar to post, knocking our heads against the wall all the time, and never seeing life. When it can't go anywhere, it's as real as Gary explained to us this morning. That life from you is love ever flowing out from you. And if your intention's on your utility bill, you're not going to feel that life and that love. You can't. What's your attention on? Something that's not real? Something that's temporary? So here's one key thing about this that we find is that we're seeking to bring peace into the world of appearances, and it's the root cause of why you will never enter the kingdom, where you have a particular kind of peace that passes all understanding. It passes by all of the unbelief you've got. Now, if you say you don't have unbelief, then you're deceived. You're in really deep doo-doo. You're saying you never fear anything? You never are troubled by anything? And when the trouble comes, that's okay. How do we respond to it? What do we say about it? Are we sitting in religious meetings and we can't wait to tell somebody about a prayer request we got? And I call them prayers of unbelief to a God that doesn't exist. You're not going to get very far with that. So I think this is telling us again, how long do we want to stay in that? So the second statement I said was, I don't believe in God. And I remember when I started hearing this, the voice said to me, awake thou that sleepest. I want to wake you up. You're asleep. Wake up, Mike. Like I was in a dream. I want you to wake up. It was saying it to me. Not to you. It was saying it to me. Wake up, Mike. Every religious person in the world believes in God. Everyone. That's why I don't want to say I believe in God anymore. Because as soon as you say that with the word in, right away, he's got to be sitting somewhere else. Just the inference of that statement, the way we've believed it, the way we've been taught it, the way we've said it with our own tongue, means he's somewhere else. And you want him to, you want it, and there's a verse that talks about it. Are we trying to drag God back down in to our world of unbelief? Because that's what we're trying to do. And it's an idol. So Jesus called these people, people of little faith. And even some, he said they were of their father, the devil. What was he saying? Why did he make such harsh statements? And who is the devil? James says, thou believest that there's one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe. Whoops. And tremble. So all those demons that were in the mind of Legion said, what will thou have to do with us, Jesus? Don't torment us. Isn't that what we're saying when we don't get what we want? Isn't that the same thing we say when we don't get what we want? Why are you tormenting me, God? Sounds like the same thing to me. I think that's what it means. Don't you? Don't, not yet. Can I have it, please? Why not? You're supposed to bless me when everything you need for life and godliness is all you got. And if God's all and he's in you, that should be all you need. Because that's all there is. That should be enough, I think. But is it enough? Sometimes it isn't. And I shared with you fears that I go through with my business and working with people. And it pulls you away, but like Gary, I'm finding I'm not making my bed in hell as long as I used to. And that's quite a relief. Yeah. But guess what? Guess what? Guess who I find there? God, the real God, is in hell. Okay? He's there. So that's when David said, I made my bed in hell and there you were. I can't get rid of you. And that's where we discover truth. And we keep trying to pray it away all the time. And that's where you learn. But you don't want to learn. You just want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, guys, we got to quit running around talking about health all the time, don't we? Gary, we're speaking it with our mouth all the time. It's a realm of death. It's only there because of the fear of death. So it has to be a realm of death. Wake up thou to sleep, to rise from the dead. Hello? Come in. Hello. That's real noisy when I listen to them on the recordings and I tap on that. Wake up! What are you afraid of? That's what I do now. When I find myself getting afraid or perplexed or frustrated, I say, Nevins, what the hell are you afraid of in hell? What is it? What's really the problem? And it doesn't take too long. When I get my mind off the circumstance, the answer comes. See? It's not the thing I'm trying to fix that is the problem. It's why do I want it so bad? Why do I want it changed so bad? What am I afraid of? That if it happens, am I going to die? Am I going to starve to death? I find myself in the desert without a meal? And so all the truth disappears when you're in that realm, doesn't it? There isn't a peace that passes all understanding when you're there. It's a temporary peace. And so all our goals to try to bring a false kingdom into this world is one of the biggest crutches there is. Yep. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Hello? Hello? Peace, peace, there is no peace. And so, Mr. Legion, this is why it proves to you what I'm telling you is true. When he was tormented by these legions of things, these demons, what did it say after it was all over? He was found in his right mind. So when you're in these areas, you're not in your right mind. You don't know who you are. You don't know this Father that's within you, that's everything you need. And if you get your mind off the particular things, whatever it is, what is it? Say, God, what are these things that trip me up all the time? What is it? Come on now, don't tell me. Just say it to yourself, okay? Say, God, what the hell's my problem? That's the most appropriate word you could say. Because that's exactly where you are at that moment. Here you are, a child of the kingdom. And there's an obscure verse that the translators forgot to twist around on one of them. And it said, the children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness. No. What is this outer darkness? Right? Being controlled by your circumstances. It's out. It causes you to live outside of yourself. That's what it does. That's the outer darkness. It's not some great big pit with pitchforks sticking out, and it's musty and it's a little wet, rainy, dark, stony, or whatever that we've pictured, you know, because of the movies. Who knows? You know, all these images that's come to us from religious systems. So I don't want to be a devil that believes. Hello? I'm sorry. I read that, I'm going, holy crap. Is that what I've been doing? Yes. 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 Hello? Yes. Have I been doing that? Who's that talking to? Every one of these stories in the Bible is a story about you in unbelief. Sodom and Gomorrah, all of them. All of them. And you read the story, and right away everybody starts cursing the gays and lesbians. That's all they can get out of it. It's religious people. That's all they can get out of it. And here was Lot, didn't believe a stitch of who he was, and God pulled him out of there. Okay? And destroyed what? All of those in unbelief. The unbelieving mind is the only thing that needs to get destroyed. Hello? That's it. It's not about crushing people and smashing them and burning them to death. The love of God come down and consumed all the unbelief. And what happened to Lot's wife? She turned back again to handle her unbelief again, didn't she? And that's what happens to us if we keep returning to the same thing without learning. And that's exactly what you're doing when you're praying to a God to fix your circumstance. How many times are you going to ask him for the same damn thing? How many times? And never grow and never come into the understanding of the truth that you are the reality of God and there's nothing else but God. And you can't do anything about it. That's a key statement. You just can't. You can't do anything about that. I mean, man, I'm telling you what, I got so much relief on that, I almost had to go grab some Depends when I first really heard that part, which said, we can't do nothing about it. I said, wow. I mean, talk about release and just so much tension and stress was gone. I've never felt it as good since then, because what happens? The cares of this world come back, and what, I keep taking a bite out of it all the time. They come back. Don't feel quite so good. Well, what is my problem again? There it is again. So I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this God I've been praying to. And there's a beautiful, beautiful verse in Isaiah. And I remember I took the King James and the Amplified and the Message and I weaved it together. And the true God said, why are you praying to gods that can't save you? Why? He says, you don't know me. That's why. And so if you're praying to a God for anything, you're praying to the wrong God. You've got to realize that God is within you, and the only way you're going to know him is when you start feeling this flow Gary was talking about coming out of you, which is the love of God that eliminates what? The fear in your life. There's nothing that can kill you. There's nothing that can harm you unless you believe in it. It can't. Now, you might go out here and get hit by a truck, okay? I've got something really funny to tell you. Wouldn't it be just a hoot if God had reached through time and space and just snatched that plane out of the air and they never find an atom of it? Wouldn't that be funny? Do you want to know something? That's reality. That's the realm of faith. No one on that plane is lost. There's not one person on that plane that's lost. Isn't that something? I feel it right now, don't you? The beauty of that statement. No one on that plane is lost. There's a realm living beyond the fears of unbelief in your life that never changes. Ever. There's only God. There's nothing but God. Hello? Full stop? And you can't do anything about it? Take a break. Have a drink. Smoke a cigar. Go out and have wild sex. It's okay. It's all right. But quit believing you're going to die. And quit praying to a God to try to keep you alive when he is your life. Talk about spinning in circles. I mean, it's like chasing your own tail. Thou believest that there's only one God? Really? He's saying? Really? Really? That's what he's saying. It's sarcastic, isn't it? Thou believest there's only one God? Are you sure? So do the devils. What good's it do you? Now here's what the Message says. Boy, sometimes he really gets it on, doesn't he? You ought to hear how he says it. The Message, the same verse in the Message. Do I hear you professing that you believe in the one and only God? But then observe you complacently sitting back as if you'd done something wonderful. There's only God. You can't do nothing about it. Isn't that what he's saying? Huh? That's just great. Demons do that, but what good does it do them? Hello? Hello? Isn't that a wonderful interpretation? Did I just not say that to you? Isn't that what I just said? And he dug in there and got into the Greek and pulled that meaning out of there somehow. I'm sure he just didn't pull out of his butt. You know? Somehow that's the meaning he got out of that translation. And it's exactly what I just said to you. Did I hear you profess you believe in the one and only God? But then observe you complacently sitting back as if you've done something wonderful. There's only God, there's nothing but God, and you can't do anything about it. It's not about you. It's not about what you do or what you say or what you smoke or what you drink or whatever else there is. I mean, if we get down the list worse, it's harder to put up with it. You know, I mean, geez, we don't need to go there. But what does it do to believe there's only God, there's nothing but God, and there's nothing you can do about it, and try to drag all of the morbid, wicked history that we could pull up in history books? What does that do to all that? Nobody's ever died. Those people on that plane aren't missing. I love what Lanyon says. He kept saying, I'm not going anywhere. He says it all the time, I'm not going anywhere. Well, how can you go somewhere if there's only God and there's nothing but God? How can you go somewhere? The only place you can go is a place of unbelief where fear's waiting for you. We'd be glad to greet you in many different forms. Many different ways. And every time you pray in that particular circumstance, you create a new God, a new idol. And God says, what are you doing? Why are you praying to these idols that can't save you? And he said, it's because you don't know me. And so to know him is what? Life eternal. To know him is life eternal. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change that. Can you believe it? Can you believe that? Isn't that simple faith? Isn't that like childlike faith? To just say, wow, that's really simple. What makes it so complicated? Well, we grew up and we got educated and we got taught a bunch of stuff, didn't we? And it wasn't their fault. Because when you read the Bible, when it's talking about generation after generation, that's exactly what it's talking about. It's been handed down right from the garden. So it's nobody's fault. But now you know the difference, don't you? Now you know the difference, don't you? Now, who's the crime dog? You want to take a bite out of crime, right? Would you want to take a bite out of life every time something approaches you? You really like that? How long do we want to live there? That's what Liz says. You know, she says, I'm serious about it. Mm-hmm. So we say we believe in God, but so does every religious mind on the face of the earth. Allah, Buddha, there's the female gods and the cow gods of Hinduism and Taoism and blah, 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 blah. Well, Gary told us this morning the Christian God ain't any different. That's why you have to say you don't believe in God. You have to say it for yourself and know what that means. Because as soon as you say you believe in God, you start praying to him. And you only go to him when things go bad. Normally. So, how can you say you believe in God and pray to a God at the same time you're dwelling in the realm of fear and death? Because what it means is you don't believe he's in there. Hello, it's like the Ragu commercial, you know? It's all in there. And all should be enough. End of story. I'd say all's quite a bit. So what's your testimony? What do you do when you make a prayer request? We'll sit around in our little religious meetings, and everyone, at best, is just testifying to all the unbelief in their lives. Searching out a personal God to meet the demands of our testimony. Prayers of unbelief to a God that doesn't exist. Now, I'm telling you what, that's trouble. Right in River City, isn't it? That's trouble. No wonder you're frustrated. No wonder you're anxious. Because it don't work. It doesn't work. And Gary brought it up again this morning. There was, when I first mentioned this once, just barely, this woman got up and said, well, I know I prayed to God and my husband was healed. And I said, I don't know this God that heals one person and not another. I don't know that God. And you said that this morning to us, brother. I don't know that God. And what does it say in James? The pure wisdom from above, which is the gospel, there's only God, there's nothing but God, and you can't do anything about it. That's the purest thing you could ever speak off your lips. It can't get any purer than that. And what did it say first comes? Peace, and then gentleness. And then it said it's easy to be entreated, it's easy to be understood. Without what? Hypocrisy and partiality. So it doesn't heal one person and not another because of the way you twist your mind into some blabbing away to something that ain't even real. It's all a bunch of noise. There is no such God. Nowhere. You know the song. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Where's my God to help me out? You've seen a lot of trouble. And if that's all you can see is the trouble, you're going to stay stuck. There's a way out, and it's pretty simple, guys. You have to get your mind off the answer to your circumstance. You've got to get your mind off this answer you want. And then quit trying to manipulate some fake God to giving you something you don't need. Because if you ain't got it, you don't need it. And where do you live when you're doing that stuff? In the future? And there is no such thing? Isn't it wonderful to know that all that you are, that you shared with us this morning, is all that there is? There's nothing else? That's why I said, hello, it's me. Hello, I'm there, I'm in there. Hello, Mike, come in, wake up. Wake up, Mike, wake up thou that sleepest. And come alive from where? The dead. And so when you're not at this rest and peaceful place, you're in a realm of death. And he said, I've come to give you help? He said, no, I've come to give you life. And so whatever happens to you, be thankful. Be content in whatever state you find yourself in is the answer. And realize you can't die. Whatever it is, it can't get you. Okay? Now, if we all want to go on a plane and try to find this wormhole that maybe this jet went through. I'd love watching Star Trek. Maybe it's a wormhole.
Yeah.
God went through there. I'm going to shock the world. They're never going to find a piece of this. They won't even find a little scratch of aluminum dust on the ground. Wouldn't that be amazing? I would just love that if that happened. Because the whole world's talking about this plane right now. Everybody's looking for this plane. I said it last night. I think it's hilarious. I'm curious minds want to know. Where the hell's that plane at, you know? Right? But the whole world, I mean, there's, 12 countries have sent everything they can send over there, and they were searching in the wrong place, which that's exactly what we're doing when we're trying to scratch out a living by the sweat of our brow and start praying to a God that ain't even real. Now, that's why you're frustrated, folks. That's why you get anxious. I don't like that myself. I figured out I don't like that, Gary. So I'm going to shut my mouth. And it said there was silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. That's exactly what that means. Silence where? Here's heaven.
Yep.
Silence right here. So the only thing you can say to me is wow and Shazam. Okay? That's all I want to hear. Okay? when you realize that any frustration, right, any lasting frustration, I'm not talking about when it first comes to you, but how long do you want to hang on to this death realm stuff, right, where there's no life? I mean, do you really want to hang on to that? Yikes. Let go of it. So where does this realm of belief dwell? Right between what you want and what you don't have. Oh. Right in between there. Is it this big or that big? Right in between what you want and you don't have is a realm of unbelief, isn't it? Because you're not understanding that you got all you can get. Okay? You got all you can get. It's all in there. And if we quit trying to grab stuff and control things long enough, it will begin to speak to you, as Gary was telling you. This, the only reason you can listen to this message at all is because it's already in you. Or you'd already be throwing things at me. Okay? It has to be there. It's got to be there. I can't teach you a thing. I can talk to you about my sorrows and troubles and how I'm starting to see life through them. And I'm seeing it work out. I'm seeing life work its way out through these things that I think are bad news. And it's all, it's still going to grab you when you're first coming and say, well, like Liz, you know, you're going to say that. You go, oh, wait a minute. I know what to do. Absolutely nothing. Stop, shut up long enough, and quit praying to a fake God somewhere on a throne who is sitting there at his computer, right, waiting for the right prayer. Right, isn't he? Well, there he goes. Send him that. Man, he's got to have carpal tunnel by now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So Liz is asking us if we've had enough. I say, yes, Liz. I've had enough. She's had enough. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of the true God. I speak this to your shame. Shame of what? Is he trying to judge us? You've heard the truth. Are we going to return to our own vomit? I'm not trying to hold you down. I'm trying to wake you up. I want to wake you up. You are the reality of all God that is. He isn't somewhere else. He isn't. It said in the end of Revelation, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. That's the dwelling place of the Father. There's not some place you can go except hell. And it's not real, is it? It's all an illusion. That stems from what? Our judgment of the appearances. And so Jesus said, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Hello? Well, you can't understand what righteous judgment is if you're always judging the appearances all the time. That's the answer. You can't. And so the last time we were together, Miranda asked us, how can we live in righteous judgment every day? And I said, well, you can say you understand righteous judgment till you're blue in the face, but if the appearances are tripping you up every time, you're not going to get there. Because Jesus said it's based on how you handle the appearances. When you begin to handle the appearances in a way of faith and peace that passes all understanding, you'll understand righteous judgment. You won't feel judged. You won't feel condemned. And it will be easy for you to see that love and that righteousness in your neighbor. Because you realize, just like Walter tells us all the time, whatever you wish for that other person is inside you. Whatever you wish for them. Whatever you don't like about them is shining right back at you. So Tony used to say, if there's one pointing out, there's five pointing back. Right? Why did he say to love your enemy? Because you don't have any enemies. You don't. How can you have an enemy if there's only God and there's nothing but God? How can you have an enemy? There's no way to have an enemy, is there? Awake to righteousness and sin not. Sin not is always unbelief. Has nothing to do with behavior. Jesus said it in John. He says, I've got to leave you because you got it all screwed up. You won't quit worshiping the icons. I got to go. But I'm going to send the Comforter to teach you about what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because of unbelief. You don't believe in me. You just believe in an icon. He said about sin, because you don't believe in what I said. That's what the definition of sin is. It's not debauchery. It's not you go to a brothel and stop by the bar on the way home every night. It's got nothing to do with it. Now, I'm not saying I recommend that, you know, but if that's where you're at, what are you going to do if you want out? If you got to wait till you stop it, you're never going to make it, are you, Gary? Took him 14 years to quit smoking. Now, he quit believing in hell, but he smelled like he was there all the time, didn't he? That's what my wife says when I smoke a stogie. You stink.
I know.
I like stogies, don't we, Gary?
Absolutely.
And in Romans, knowing the time. Knowing the time. It's time right now. It's high time to awake out of your sleep. He says, it's right now, right this very moment. It can't happen tomorrow because it'll never get here. He says, it's high time to awake out of your sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we've ever believed before. What's hindered us? What has hindered you? Just unbelief? It's high time. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off what? The works of darkness, which is unbelief. Let's cast them off and let us put on the armor of light. A truth that never changes. A truth that you can stick in every keyhole. And when you're frustrated, say, my God, teach me thy ways. I've said it to God, and I can't believe it. I mean, if you could hear what goes on in my mind, and I could play it on a recording, it'd be pretty hilarious. But I say, I said, God, what the hell's my problem? And you know what he said to me every time? Every time. He said, Mike, it's your judgment. Every time. He says, you're judging something incorrectly. And it doesn't take too long as I peel off the onion skins to find out what that is. I'm just telling you. It doesn't take real long. Because I've started to learn how to do it. I started to understand some of the basic principles that this unbelief builds runways for. There's this landing strip. And it likes a lot of planes to be backed up, okay? They're circling around and wanting to land. And when one lands, it's easier for another one to land. And it builds and builds so that you can't even get there sometimes because you get so frustrated. And guys, I'm telling you, it happened to me last week. It really did happen to me. I got so frustrated, I found myself in my wrong mind. Absolutely. Was in my wrong mind. He who understands perfect love is not in fear. Thank you. We're going to take time now to have some lunch, and we'll see you all back here this afternoon at 2 for another round of Gary Sigler.